Good morning. Good morning. Nice to see everyone here. Just open up in word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much. And just like the song said, you are our cornerstone, and that's why we gather together, and that's why we worship you, because all things are built upon you and nothing else. And so we thank you for that, dear God. Lord, you be our teacher this morning, and I pray you open our eyes to see different things about the way you've made us, different things about the family, and that we can stand strong in the world that is attacking the family and attacking the way you made it, and that, Lord, we can have insight, Lord, and just see you work through your people in a powerful way. Just anoint me to speak words of the Spirit in each heart to receive of the Spirit, and you do your transforming work. So we give you all thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, if you would look up, I got an overhead here, and I'm going to open up with this overhead. I'm going to read this before we get into any scripture. And I was looking at this, and I wanted to put together some points, what we were going to be covering for the next, you know, several weeks. And so I'm going to read these 4 points before every message. Okay, I'll keep us on focus, and you know kind of the basis of where we're going, because it ties in to how God made us and what I'm trying to communicate here. So point number one, the family is a world in miniature where life lessons are learned. Point number two, a biblical marriage exalts the woman and demands leadership by the man. Now, we'll get back to that, all of these, but number two, and you see the world destroying that and turning that on its ear. But unfortunately, I have seen the churches are destroying this. A lot of teaching I heard is destroying this, and I think it's it does incredible damage to the marriage, incredible damage to the children. So number two, the biblical marriage exalts the woman and demands leadership by the man. Number three, the biblical marriage relationship will teach healthy, lifelong values to children. Number four, sin messes up everything. All right, anything I say, throw sin in, it messes it all up. Messes it all up. Okay, so that's where we're going. So we're going to look at this. And so the verse we're going to look at this morning to get started is Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. And I entitled the message, you know, just with all my creativity, supposed to be. Okay, this is the way it's supposed to be, all right, if you have any questions. So the title of the message is supposed to be. And so we're going to look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, and see how it's supposed to be. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. All right? That's a good verse to meditate on. And that's how we're starting off, Genesis 1. All right? This is God's plan and his movement in the world. Here it is, right here. And he's talking about he created man in his own image. Think about that. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So what we have here, God spoke and created a man and a woman. This man and this woman were created to manifest God's image. See, God's showing himself. You want to see what I look like? This is what I look like. Okay, in spirit and person. So, and it is a lie from Satan himself to say anything different. When you attack the creation of man and woman and their relationship and start adding it, it's demonic. It's anti-God. Because right here we see the truth of what God says. And so anything movement off that is from Satan himself. And Satan hates mankind, and he definitely wants to move us off our created image. So, therefore, we need to remember point four. Okay? We need to remember point four. Sin messes up everything. All right? messes up everything. Now, from birth, male and female are different as they were intended by God. From birth, all right? Now, these gender differences, not only physically, but emotionally and relationally, and the way we process information, are the work of God. You see that? So God made a man like this, made a woman like this, and they reflect me, and the way they are made up is just the way I intended it. And by the way, it happens at birth. It happens at birth, okay? So we know that. Now, everyone walking on this earth, anyway, just people walking on this earth, they recognize these gender differences. You just do, don't you? I just walk around, I walk over and I see Greg. Son of a gun, he's a man. he just is, you know? So people recognize that around the world, you know. I mean, they know that. They automatically know these gender differences, except there's a group, except the federal government. Federal government has a hard time figuring out male and female, all right? You know, it's that federal government. And also the politically correct self-deceivers. Politically correct self-deceivers, they can't figure it out, and their disciples. Okay? So, I mean, just understand this. And just, again, God's not confused. Satan's author of confusion. Author of confusion. See, normal people are just like Adam. They're just like Adam. When God brought Eve to him, he goes, oh my, she's different. That's my paraphrase. All right, that's my paraphrase. But he did. He goes, oh my gosh, I wonder if she's a guy or a gal. He goes, no, whoa, she's a gal. You know, and he named her Gal. Oh, he called her Eve. But, you know, I mean, it's like he knew immediately. No questions asked. And that's what happens, you know. Normal people, that's what they do. Oh, it's a guy. That's a girl. See, normal people. All right. People who are not normal can't figure that out. You see what I'm saying? Real clear. Real clear. In fact, you have to be kind of taught and educated and manipulated to see a truth and call it not a truth. See, you have to be manipulated because you see a truth. That's a guy. Well, let me spend, you know, so much time with you, send you a certain class, you know, trying to get reorientate you and convince you that what you see is not true. See? You see what I'm saying? So it's not hard. It really is not hard. Just imagine a doctor delivering a baby and coming out and says, golly, wonder what this is. He knows. You know? He knows. Get a 6-year-old baby sister. Here's your, and she can tell you. You see what I'm saying? I mean, what's happening here is absolute beyond insanity. And so you have to call it demonic. It's really demonic, okay? Now, that is really not politically correct, right? But it is. Just face the facts. And we're afraid, and it's got the church afraid to call, you know, that's a girl. Gosh, I don't know if I should say that. I mean, what's crazy? But that's what the world is doing to us. And God said, no, you're my mouthpiece. And it's just obvious, you know? It's just obvious. So we see what's going on here. Now also what we see, and this is important, and this verse really brings out big time, we see in Genesis that God, when he made his image, he saw it wasn't complete with Adam. I mean, read the verse. It wasn't complete with Adam. What he wanted to complete his well-rounded image that reflects him, he created also the female. It was necessary to show forth God's full image to create Eve. so his image could be completed the way he intended it to be. Right? Is that what the verse says? Read this verse. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I needed both of them. To be what? I created the man in God's image, and I created this woman in who knows what's image. No, he's in his image. But she's different. That's right. Because the two of them together reflect the fullness of what God intended. Amen? I mean, it's just logical right there. Well, also, this is the reason the family is so powerful, because the family reflects God. Y'all with me? Because you got a man and a woman in the family. Therefore, you got the full image, and it reflects God. We talked last week, and you can look all around you. Satan is not trying to destroy the nation. Satan is trying to destroy the family, which will destroy the nation. Why? Because the family reflects God, and he hates God's reflection. And so he destroys the family. That's his point. That's his core base point of destruction, is the family. That's the key. So it's like, oh my gosh, we see this. Therefore, if that's true, the differences in a male and female are real and necessary to reflect the full image of God as he intended. These differences should be nurtured in the family and modeled to our children. Kids going, I don't know if I'm a boy or I'm a girl. I'm thinking, who's your mom and dad? What are you talking about? Hey, 11-year-old, somebody told me 11-year-old. I don't know, you know, if I'm a boy. Where's mom and dad at? Well, I mean, what is it? Well, we seem to see the psychiatrist or have some gender adjustment. No, they need a mother and a father reflecting the reality to them and communicating the truth to them. Right? Oh, Mom, I think I'm a dog. Stop it. You know, cut out. You're going to sit in your room to figure out, and I'm going to send you a bag of dog food until you get ready to come out and eat with us. I mean, well, oh my God, she's a dog. You know, let's go see it. No! You have a mother and a father. And your mother and the father are to communicate and model the image of God, male and female. You see what's going on? Huh? You see what's going on in the world? You see what's happening? And so, and I mean, it's just, it's amazing. It really is amazing to see what's happening here. So, a husband and wife understanding one another will complement one another, reflecting God in the process. Amen? Oh, gosh, I just thought we were just hanging out together, you know, go to a few soccer games. No, you're reflecting God. That's God's intention, to reflect God. He needs both of you to do it. Now, if you can imagine, I've seen some funny videos and funny skits where they talk about men and women and how they think and how the brain works. I mean, it's just hilarious, you know. And what's funny about these skits and what makes them funny, because they're true. That's why they're funny, you know. I was watching, flipping around, it was a lady comedian, all right. I don't remember her name, which is good because, oh, she was foul-mouthed. I mean, she just won. But she was talking about men and dating men. She had this nailed down. She had the differences nailed down. You go with a guy, and this is what and just like that. And I thought, oh my gosh, you could clean this up. You could preach it. But now I'm ashamed to tell anybody even saw it. But you know what? It's like, oh my God. But it's a difference. See, the difference is, and that's the reason comedians can talk about it, and because everybody knows it. You know? And so if you make it up, you know, a lie, people don't think it's funny. Unless you're running for office, then you can lie all you want to. You see what I'm saying? So anyway, so it's just fascinating. So what I want to do, so there's a multitude of things we could look at. I even thought about showing some videos. I said, no, that's, I'll leave that up to somebody else. But there's things you can look at. But what I want to do is highlight one particular difference. You know, one particular difference is, and knowing that there's multitudes of other. Now I'm talking about gender differences. Gender differences. And I want to talk about some, a couple of differences here, just to give us an idea that will kind of spur you on to think about as you talk to your spouse, that there are other differences and you should probably communicate about them, all right? Now, one of the things that is very obvious when you just see the population as a whole, and ladies tend to be more sensitive than men. You ever notice? They just tend to be more sensitive. Now, by being sensitive, I mean this. They like feel things. You know, just feel things going on. It's sensitive. And they feel things way beyond the facts of the situation. I just don't. In fact, a lot of times you'll see a lady and she'll say this word, feel. She'll use the word feel. I just don't feel. That's right. What do you mean? What are you talking about? Look, it's just this. No, it sounds. No, just feel. You know, what's that? You know, but so they tend to use that word, feel, you know. And then you should pay, guys, you should pay attention. When she says feel, you ought to click up. Okay, that's something else going on here beyond the fact. So women are feel things. They're more sensitive. And because they feel things, they tend to be more relational. Okay, because they feel things. So they tend to be more relational in discussions. You know, it's like I could walk up and I say, hey, Rich, how you feel, man? Fine. I'm fine, too. We're good. And we're fine. We're good. We're fine. And I walk up, Sophie, how you feel? Well, let me tell you how I feel. Well, yesterday this happened and all that, and the kids did this and I'm going to that. I'm like, holy smoke! It's like, good grief, you know? I mean, she's telling me how she really feels in relationship and all it's tied into, and I just want to find, you know. That's all I want. And so when I've learned like that, you say, I say, Rich, how you? Fine. He's fine. If I walk up so and say, how are you? And she goes, I'm fine. I go, uh-oh, she is ticked off. That's one unhappy woman. She just said, fine. Women don't say fine, all right? And it's like, I don't even want to ask the next question. You see what I'm saying? I go, I wonder why Greg's not here. You know, I think she locked him in the basement. Okay, but you see what I'm saying? So what you have is women tend to be more sensitive, and they're more, therefore they tend to be more relational in that piece, you know, of it. And what it does is sensitivity permeates all their actions. All their communication is permeated by these sensitivities. And so when wives communicate facts, and by the way, they communicate facts just fine. They don't have any problem with facts. No problem with that. But when they communicate facts, the facts are covered in a relational wrapper. You got it? It's a fact. It's there. But there's a relational wrapper around it. There's a relational wrapper. Therefore, and listen to this, therefore, when your wife speaks, there is always dual messages. Thus saith the Lord. Now, it doesn't say that in the Bible, but I know it should. It should. In fact, he probably does say it. I just hadn't found it. So what she does when she speaks, there's always two messages. There's the factual one, and there's the relational one. See? And that's something that husbands, one of the things we need to remember right now is before we go on to men, we need to remember that. Women speak, and they speak two messages. Remember this. Guys, women know it. Guys, when they speak two messages. Factual, relational. In fact, I'm finishing up a premarital counseling with a couple. They go to a different church, and so I was sharing this with them. And the guy goes, "When do I know she's speaking a relational message?" Right, guys? That's what you're thinking, and you can't say it right now, but you're thinking it. And so he asked, "When do I know she's speaking a relational message?" And before I could say anything, she turned to him and said, "Every time I open my mouth." I said, "Way to go, honey. I mean, it's yes. I mean, she knew. She knew like that." And he goes, "Oh, okay." You know, so anyways, fascinating. So, okay, so you got the picture. Now, that's just one. I mean, we understand. And by the way, some of you guys go, "You probably, you know, I think she just sits around and thinks of something to come at me and just thinking up relational, so I'll just get messed up and not make it." It's like, how could anybody? No, that's who she is. It's a natural expression. It's just naturally who she talks. She's not thinking about it. It's just the way it is. You see what I'm saying? All right? Now, so there's a lot of other things. But anyway, that's one we can look at. Now, guys tend to focus more in communication and stuff. They tend to focus more on goals and facts. They want a goal and the facts, how to get to the goal. See? It's funny, if you ever got in an argument with your husband, ladies, and he'll say, "What do you want me to do?" What's he saying? Give me a fact, give me a goal, and give me some facts, and I can get out of this. I need to know something. Give me something to hold on to. You know, and which doesn't make you happy at all because you know he doesn't have a clue what you're saying. So you're in worse off than you were before. So a guy, again, but he's looking for a goal and a fact. If I have a goal and the facts to get there, then I can do it. I can accomplish it. That's how they typically communicate. Now, this wonderful quality they have can cause some relational problems. Can cause some relational problems. I mean, I said wonderful quality, didn't I? Well, it's a wonderful quality, but it can cause some relational problems. Now, what I'd like to do, I'm going to give you a situation of how this happens, okay? And this is, by the way, how's this fit in the fact? It's communication, male, female, husbands, wives, you know, you're raising children. It really comes out to the raising children, you know, doesn't it? All this is coming together. Well, let me give you an example. Say the husband comes home one night. They both had a hard day. And so the wife has a factual message. "Can we go out to dinner?" Factual message. The husband's had a hard day, and his factual answer to the factual message is no. Now, the wife's relational message, when she said this, well, the wife's relational message wrapped around this factual message was, "Do you love me enough to take me to dinner? You just said no. You just said no." But her question was, "Do you love me enough to take me to dinner?" See, so the husband, by answering the relational question in a factual manner, he just told her he didn't love her. How's she going to respond to that? Fine. One word. Fine. What's wrong with you? Nothing. "Well, you're awful touchy." Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, you can't even talk to her. You see what I'm saying? You know why all y'all are laughing? You know what? Because the same reason I'm laughing. It's like, how many times I stick my foot into that? So what do you do? See, the point of it is, now you have a real relationship issue. She had a hard day. You had her, and you just say, "Hey, hun, how you doing? So, have we go to dinner?" No, fine. Now you're mad. I mean, it took like a millisecond. It took a millisecond. You know, it's like, now you're ticked off the whole night. Now. So the solution here is, now I'm going to highlight, and this is important. This is where a lot of this stuff breaks down, and when I talk to couples, I'm going to highlight point number two. Here's point number two. You have to have this one in mind for this to work. And I've seen, and I'm going to be perfect, I've heard a couple of sermons that just made me cringe because they don't understand this. This is the point you have to understand. A biblical marriage exalts the woman and demands leadership by the man. So, guys, instead of trying to change your wife's gender by saying, "Suck it up, say what you mean, act like a man," that ain't going over well, is it? See, that's not going over well. So you take up the leadership role and you exalt the woman as God intended. But you take a leadership role to exalt the woman. And so it says something like this. When you exalt the woman, what you have to do, the man is stepping into a leadership role and exalting the woman, and therefore he learns to answer the unspoken but very relational message. So he answers the relational message. So you walk in, can I go out to dinner? And he says, this is two messages. There's a relational one and there's a factual one. Therefore, the first thing I need to do is to answer the relational one. Amen? Y'all with me? I'm not getting a lot of head nods. Y'all with me? Okay. So he answers the relational. Would you take me out to dinner? And he says, you know, hon, you know I love you more than life itself. You got me? Oh, you know I love you more than life itself. And that's I just love to take you out to dinner. You answered the relational question. You got an A+ on the relational question. A+. And by the way, I let you know, that's the primary question. I love you more than life itself. That's the primary question. That's what she really wants to know. And now that the relational question is answered, you can discuss the factual one. But hon, you know, I had a terrible day, and I said, could we put this off? Well, hon, I'm sorry you had a terrible day. Okay, we can work this out. So you can talk about the factual message unemotional, because you answered the relational question. I'm going to do this again, just because, thus saith the Lord. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's an incredible thing. And by the way, every couple's going through this. Just like the kid I talked to, you know, young man. He said, well, when she speak in a relational question? She goes, every time I open my mouth. Now, she knew that. I didn't coach her. She heard the information first time he did. He didn't get it. She got it. You see what I'm saying? And which is always the case. Which is always the case. So when you see this, when you see these things, this is an example of the differences, but they're good. See, you exalt the woman, but to exalt the woman, it demands leadership by the man. A sacrifice to learn to exalt her. It's the image of God. Amen? It's the image of God. This is what God is doing. If it wasn't, why wouldn't she just act like you? No, different. Totally different. Totally different. And so, anyway, I could go into more details about this, and I shouldn't say thus saith the Lord, because I really haven't found the verse. I just have experienced the truth. So I'll leave it up to you ladies to talk to your husbands about it. All right. And then you can say, this is the way God made me. And this is necessary to see the reflection of God. You need to honor that. And then you smile. You see what I'm saying? Okay, you're with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I've told you this from before, but I have to say it again. It's just so stinking funny. I know some of you heard it before. And what's funny about it, it wasn't a joke. It was the truth. It was the truth, actually. Man. And Linda and I went to her dinner with her aunt and uncle. They were 90 years old, you know. And they fixed it. It's just nice, you can imagine. And so they sat at the table, 90 years old, and she tells me, my husband never tells me he loves me. I mean, they've been married 100 years. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's like, he never tells me he loves me. And you go. And he leans over. He says, I told her when we got married, I loved her. And I told her if I changed my mind, I'd tell her. Now, that's factually accurate. That is factually accurate. It's terribly insensitive relationally, but it's true, you know? Anyway, but that's the example. And God said, now, I want all this to work together. I want this to work together. Now, I will say, I need to share with the ladies, you have a responsibility, too, when you're trying to get your point across. So you understand this, and you're trying to get a point across, all right? Well, what you need to do on whatever point you're trying to get across, you need to unemotionally, figure out what is the goal you have, concrete, where you can write it out, beginning and end. It's a goal. You can see it. You can throw a dart and hit it, okay? Get a goal, and then you talk about the solid facts to get there. And then he'll go, oh, okay. That's what you've got to have. The unemotional. Here's the goal. Here's the facts. And he'll talk facts to you. You know? Amen? But you figure this stuff out. You figure it out. And so, and that's how you continue. Now, I want to add, we're all good. See how, by the way, I want to reinforce, God made us this way. This is the way he intended. He intended this, all right? And so he intends us to figure it out, work together, and the family reflects God himself. The family is God's image. Family is God's image. Now, as you can imagine, there are some husbands and there are some wives that don't perfectly line up with this, all right? You can figure that some of them don't. Now, I have a bell curve. You have the bell curve up there, Drew. There's my bell curve, okay? And so, but what you have here is that the majority of husbands and wives fit in the middle of that bell curve. They just fit, like that couple that I'm just finishing up counseling with, they fit dead center in that bell curve. And I didn't know them before I ever started talking to them, all right? Okay, they fit dead. And so, but in that, so you have in that bell curve, you've got the majority of people in the middle, you know, give or take some, you have it in the middle. Now, however, there are a few husbands that are more sensitive than the norm in the bell curve. So they're on one far end, they're way more sensitive. And you got a few ladies that are not as sensitive, so they're on the other end of that bell curve of insensitivity, okay? And other things. So they're on the ends of the bell curve. Now, they're not the norm, but however, they still have male and female differences. They're still male and they're still female. And there are male and female differences, but they're on the far end of the bell curve. Y'all with me? Now, I had a counseling session 20 plus years ago with a couple, you know, starting out. And I actually knew this couple separate for a while. And so they decided to get married. Now, we'll just call them, for sake of this, is John and Jane. Okay? John and Jane. Now, Jane was a very focused career woman. I mean, really focused. Even the way she dressed and came in, it just focused the way her demeanor and everything. She was
black and white about everything.
I mean, whatever you said, it just black and white. I know there was no gray in her life at all. And she was not very sensitive at all. I mean, at all. And so she married this guy who I also knew very well, like that. And he is super sensitive. I mean, just for a guy, just super sensitive. I mean, you could talk about babies and puppies and he'd just tear up and, you know, cry. I mean, I never seen a guy as sensitive in my life. They get married. I mean, they won't get married. Okay, and so I'm doing the premarital counseling with them. So I don't have any more material. I mean, it's all I got. I don't have nothing now. And so I'm just going through this material with them. She'd go, you know, I'd go talk about her. I said, no, they'd both, that's not me. That's like him. And I talk about him. It's like, no, they'd say, that's not me. That's more her. I mean, everything was flipped back and forth. And I said, listen, I don't have anything else to give you guys. You just work this out the best you can. All right? Just do what you can. And that this is the information I got. And so we got along well. Well, towards the end of it, they come in to their session and they are upset. I mean, you just walk in, you could feel it coming off of them. I mean, they were really upset. Well, so they sat down, we started going through it, and I mean, nothing. I mean, there was any communication. I said, okay, what's going on? What's happening? Tell me what's going on. And he, Mr. Sensitivity, went over, just kind of sheepishly, kind of chagrined. He said, well, we had a big argument on the way here. I said, you did? He said, yeah. And I said, Jane, I said, what? Tell me what happened, Miss Insensitive Black and White. And she goes, burst out crying. Not like a sniffle, I mean heave, crying. It's just like, oh my God. And she would just, and had to wait a while. She was crying so hard. And he just kind of staring at the ceiling, you know. And finally, she kind of got herself together. And she said, I had the worst day of my life at work. Everything went wrong. The boss got on me. Things fell apart. People blamed me for stuff I didn't do. Then the boss got on me for letting it get out of hand. And he's going to put it in my record. It's just the worst day. And I'm telling him. I'm pouring out my heart to him all the way here. Just what's going on. And he told me, stop. Stop. You need to stop and get focused. We got a counseling session with Wallace. This is not the time to talk about it. And then she just burst out bawling again. And he just looked chagrined. And I'm going, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's male. She's female. Oh, my God. It really does work. I can't believe this. Oh, Mr. Sensitivity, shut her down and no relational message here. We got a goal. We got some facts. We got to take care of this. We don't need any of this weeping around now. And she's over here. He doesn't care about me. He loves Wallace more than he does me. You know, no relationship. He doesn't care what I think. And I was so, they were really tore up, but I was just like praising Jesus through the whole thing, you know. Now, what does that mean? What this means is that they were things about them that they were gender differences, male and female, that they were ignoring. And they were going to come out. It was going to come out. And it was going to be a terrible time in their relationship to understand one. In fact, it was going to really blindside both of them because both of them were living in the reality of who the other person really was. They had a misconception of who the other person really was. And after that, all sorts of things came out, and they were able to communicate. I mean, it's amazing. By the way, they had a happy marriage, and they have 3 grown children now. See? So we need to understand that there are differences. We need to understand that there are differences, but we also need to have the lesson that we have to talk these things out and see where everybody is. But there's ingrained, is this in this couple, very much gender differences in the way they were wired. Amen? Okay, so it's, we're not, did you ever know, we're not cookie cutters. We're not. Everybody's different. Every family's different. Every situation's different. But you can look at some principles and make application of those principles. Now, also, what we need to do is we see these and identify these differences between men and women. Husbands and wives need to embrace them and nurture them. I don't know if I'm a boy or a girl. That's mom and dad. That's not the kid. See? So if the mom and dad are embracing the gender differences of which they are an example and nurturing those gender differences, what you are is demonstrating those to your children, and they will pick up what they learn because they're made that way anyway. So it's not going to be hard for them to do. Amen? Now, in the cases where you have a family, where you have, you know, wife not present, husband not present, male or female not present in this situation, and people get into that, well, then what you do, believing these facts, that you have family members that you trust, big key, that you trust of whatever sex is not in there, to have an impact on your children. If it's a lady raising a boy, she wants to see boys, men she knows, to walk with those boys so they can see a man. See, that helps. Or vice versa. The guy raising the girl, you know, boom, you know, needs some mothers or people he knows, sisters, walk with her that she can see that. Or you can mix it up vice versa. But you can do it within the family members and you can understand. And because they're naturally made to know who they are, they will tend to go that direction. But they need a nurturing parent. Amen. Again, the family represents the image of God. And Satan wants to destroy the family. And that's the reason you get so much demonic activity in the school system. Because that's how you destroy the family with the kids. Okay? That makes sense? Hallelujah. Now, here's another question we have, you can have here. It's like, can you have a dynamic relationship with God and be single? Yeah? Yeah, absolutely. The Apostle Paul was single. He was single, all right? And in fact, the Apostle Paul says that if you are single, you don't have the distractions of a family and can spend more time with Jesus. Oh, I'm single. Party. No. You have opportunity to spend more time with Jesus, and then you more reflect Christ and God because you have more time to spend with Him. And being single, your time is not as divided, giving more time to fully devote yourself to Christ. He doesn't have a verse there. See, I have a verse for this one. 1 Corinthians 7:35. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 7:35. The Apostle Paul said, I say, stay single. I put in parentheses because that's what he's talking about. I say, stay single for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion. Single means you have undivided devotion to Christ. He said, if you're married, he says, the husband has to care about what the wife thinks. The wife has to care about what the husband makes. And they work together and reflect Christ. But if you're single, you have undivided devotion, and He will be your teacher. You're single. Amen? So He covers the basis here. He covers the whole basis here. Now, okay, we end up here. Sin messes up everything. All right. Sin messes up everything. But proper teaching and the baptism of the Holy Spirit will lead God's people to behave like Christ, which will exalt the woman, demand leadership by the man, and which will model godliness to your children. That is, amen? And here we close with this verse. Apply specifically to this, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. Oh, I'm just in this and can't get it. No, you focus on the Lord and you are transformed into the same image from one degree to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And God's got this. God's got this. But He's got to be the focus. He's revealed through His people. He's revealed through the family. Amen? Okay, you all good for maybe 6 or 7 more sessions of this next few weeks? All right? And see, God is telling us it's all here. All here. It's here. He is telling us exactly how to fight this nonsense going on around us. And it also explains where these attacks are coming from. Well, these people are just crazy. What are they? No. It is a universal demonic influence to destroy the family. Understand that. It's to destroy the family. Oh, it's destroying the country. No. He has to destroy the family first. It's the family. Amen? Hallelujah. And by the way, the family. I'll add this to you. Just a little addition here. The church is not responsible for your family. The mother and father are responsible for the family. Now, you want a church that will reinforce your views, but you are responsible. Amen? I mean, it clarifies a lot of things. It clarifies a lot of things. A church supplements what you are doing. Amen? Think. All right, let's pray. Hallelujah. Dear God, we just thank you for your gift. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what you teach us. We thank you how you made us, Lord. And we thank you that the uniqueness we have reflects you. And that we are a joy to you. And you empower us to carry out your views. You empower us to live your life. And that, Lord, you want to do mighty, mighty works in the family. And so we thank you for that. So, Lord, we just thank you that we can believe on you. We are forgiven. And we come into your family. It's so interesting you say that. We come into your family. You say we are adopted children into your family. Your focus and your center is the family. We give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.